and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Here it is, the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Sorry, I'm a little late getting prepared, Chris. Why?
Why?
Because I've been answering the phone for Jim.
Oh, really?
Yes. He's taken an Imodium, and we are. He's going to wait out.
Oh, Lord.
So that's Jim's ass report for this morning.
Great.
He's just waiting to make sure everything is. Clear to draw.
Okay. All right.
Okay. All right. Jim will be here shortly, as will Charlie Pierce of Esquire.com. By the way, do you see all the props he's getting for that rant? I read the anti-Bill Kristol rant, which was profane and awesome.
It really was.
Getting kudos everywhere for that. I feel like I discovered Charlie Pierce. I don't care.
Who
says what?
He had some fame before you.
I don't believe it. If it didn't happen here, it didn't happen. Bob Seska at the Daily Banter as well, all on the big show today.
Don't tell me. I'll tell them that you discovered him.
Listen, Ed Schultz apparently hadn't heard of him until a call one of our fans had to say, what? He's on Stephanie Miller every week. What's wrong with you?
What are you, adult?
Right, exactly. All right. We touched on this yesterday, but our beloved Julie in Seattle,
yep,
with an update on this horrible mudslide north of Seattle. Kids, King Local 5 in Seattle this morning, saying the number of people reported missing in the mudslide, which was expected to go down, has now jumped to 176. Mm. Also, 14 are now dead. The search had to be stalled as unsafe for fear the earth would shift more. More rain is coming today and for the rest of the week. Yikes.
Yeah.
National Guard are going to join first responders and volunteers today, not expecting to find anyone still alive. So that's almost 200 people who could be dead under that mud. How big was it? They said it was the length of the slide area was a mile and a half, and the mud on the destroyed area is up to 15 feet deep. Oy.
Yeah, you see the pictures on the news of it, and it's just astounding how massive this thing is.
Yeah. So our thoughts and prayers go out to all, because we love us from Seattle. We
were
just up there in December. All right, so this is just... So we reported yesterday, obviously, when the news broke, the Malaysian prime minister saying the flight ended. And he said it, because this is the problem, and we know this from certain conspiracy theorists, not mentioning anyone that we know.
Not anyone that's not in this room right now.
Right, and can't defend himself. What's that? But this is the thing. It's just information tends to only confirm that maybe we're not getting the right information. And granted, we've gotten a lot of wrong information from the Malaysian authorities. But the interesting thing is that they're saying it's, what are they calling it, technology that's never been used before,
mm-hmm,
that has shown basically the flight ended, is what he's saying, in the Malaysian ocean. But obviously even some family members are saying there's no wreckage. That's not evidence.
Right.
So
if I were one of these families, I'd be, a little pissed.
Well, the text.
That I got a text.
Did you see somebody tweet? They're like, it's a good thing there was no emoticons in that text.
Yeah.
Because you know me. I tend to over emoticon.
You certainly do.
But they said, they did call and talk to them in person. It was just another follow-up thing, the text, but...
That doesn't appear that way from some of the people that NBC News was talking to last night.
Yeah. That's nice. That's a nice text to get. I love this. Sue in Rockville sends us a screenshot of CNN with the Chiron. Too much coverage of missing plane?
Now a warning?
Yes, CNN. Yes, there might have been a skosh too much. A
little bit.
Just to answer your Chiron question. To me, and I've said that, and not to be like a right, I'm always right thing, which I think goes without saying.
Well. You make us.
But I said that before all these theories, as I said, it's in the Indian Ocean. I mean, it just logically, it seemed,
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, I guess that could change too soon, too, in fact, about the debris, because it looks like, now there's three images, and obviously there's, subs and other ships on the way. So we'll see.
But there's also a typhoon in the area now. And so they've had to call off all searches to let the typhoon pass. And it's getting to be winter there, which is the stormy season.
Yeah. This was the Malaysian Prime Minister yesterday. I'm not even going to try. Razak, I'll try.
It is therefore with deep sadness and regret that I must inform you that according to this new data, Light MH370 ended in the southern Indian Ocean.
You know, we talked about the Wired.com. Mm-hmm. You were talking about that article, and that's the thing. It's a lot of times the simplest explanation.
Occam's razor. That's what that is.
Yeah. I mean, that's why they're saying, you know, just logic says that, first of all, they wouldn't have flown that far to commit suicide, right. So pilot suicide, anything nefarious seems to be...
Nefarious.
Nefarious. Thank God, Jim's not here. Thank God Jim is not here to further disparage me.
Exactly.
Disparage, I know.
Disparage.
Oh,
there's three syllables, not two.
Okay. All right. Anyway, so what was I saying? Yeah, but that's what it seems like. The latest is that there was something went horribly wrong mechanically, fire, something like that. They tried to divert, and then were overcome with whatever. And they were saying going down that low the way they did is they're saying that's usually the best way to keep passengers alive.
Yeah.
In terms of. So anyway, all right. So we will give you all the latest on that. But it was actually a very sad day. I know there was a lot of screaming and crying. The relatives. Yeah.
That's what there should be.
Yeah. The families of the passengers aboard the missing Malaysia Airlines jet were sent text messages telling them the plane has been lost. As we were just discussing the text thread, we have to assume beyond reasonable doubt that MH370 has been lost and that none of those on board survived. We must now accept all evidence to suggest the plane went down in the southern Indian Ocean.
That's worse than a breakup over text.
They said we informed the majority of the families in advance of the Prime Minister's statement in person by telephone. SMSs were used only as an additional means of communicating with the family. That's not what they're saying on CNN?
On NBC News.
Oh.
NBC Nightly News last night.
Yeah.
They're saying that was the first time they heard about it, and it was just like mere minutes before the Prime Minister came on and told the rest of the world.
Hey. All right. Chris McLaughlin, they track the airline
pings. Inmarsat.
Right.
They track the airline pings.
Do you think there's anyone who would know if I said Inmarsat? Probably not. That's why I skipped over that part.
And I wanted to give
the
listeners some context.
Right, for the tech geeks.
Right.
Okay.
The pings match our plot for the southern route. They do not match the northern route, and therefore the northern route is ruled out.
In the Indian Ocean,
yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Okay. John Young, Australian Maritime Authority.
It's very difficult to get the next aircraft or the next ship onto the spot to take over, watching where the object is, because they're all at the end of their endurance and have to leave.
Yeah, Salon had, we'll just get this out of the way before Jim gets here.
Okay.
Quit it, conspiracy theorist. Yes. MH370 wasn't the result of a shadowy plot.
I like this article a lot.
Yeah, Andrew Leonard over at Salon says, citing a type of analysis never before used in an investigation of this sort, the Malaysian Prime Minister just announced, obviously, what we just played. And they're saying the last position was in the middle of the Indian Ocean, west of Perth. You've probably seen all the maps on TV yesterday. There is still no hard evidence that the plane crashed, although that could change soon. The more compelling conclusion, though, it's time to rule out the most nefarious or nefarious.
Nefarious. Even Natan's giggling at that.
He can fix me in post when he does the Steph video cast.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. That.
He just listen. He just airbrushes out all my mistakes. 370's passengers are most likely not being held hostage in Kazakhstan or some other Central Asian location. A suicide mission by the pilots also makes no sense. Why fly all the way to the southern Indian Ocean to crash a plane on purpose? Surely the Gulf of Thailand would have sufficed. Once again, the simplest explanation seems to be the most plausible. Something went terribly wrong on MH370. Some kind of fire or other malfunction. The pilots changed direction, looked for the nearest runway, but were themselves overcome by the malfunction. The plane continued on its new path until it ran out of fuel and crashed. And, just saying sometimes a horrible accident is...
A horrible accident.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Ben Rhodes, Deputy National Security Advisor.
We're going to continue to support them, but I don't want to indicate that we have independent confirmation of the fate of the passengers on that plane.
By the way, could you see the disappointment on Fox News? I'm sure Rupert Murdoch is crushed. It wasn't his that the plane was in Kazakhstan somewhere?
Something like that.
It had to be terrorism related because that's what works for...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Bill O'Reilly last night chastised other networks for their irresponsible coverage.
Right.
Of the Malaysian Airlines crash.
Right. Oh, sorry, I'm getting a tweet from Rupert Murdoch. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. It's where Bin Laden was in Pakistan, really? Okay.
Meanwhile, Greta Van Susteren, the show that comes on before him, is basically all of CNN's coverage condensed into an hour.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
So he needs to look at his own house before he starts criticizing others.
All right. And an oceanographer who I
also can't pronounce. The computer models that we have done shows that the debris has moved almost 500 kilometers away from where it would have originated from. It's been so long, and the currents are quite strong.
Yeah, well, that's another problem is when, once they, you know, even if you've located it, you know, by the time, like you say, in between
by the time you
the
get
weather,
there,
yeah.
it's traveled even further.
Okay, just to so people understand, the things that you put on my list, just to see if I'll try. Sharafa Patriarchiachi?
Sharafa Patriarchiachi.
Yeah, good try. Okay.
That was that guy's name that just
right,
spoke.
Right. And that makes a difference. All right. 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 22 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Gary in Wisconsin, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Gary.
Hi, Steph. Hi, Chris.
Hi.
Hello.
Frequent listener, and I just want to make a comment about Chris's constant disparaging
right.
of your pronunciation.
Right.
I also want to be the official phonetician of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Thank okay. you.
You know,
which is different from a Phoenician.
Yeah, there's a dialect difference. And you know the city on the eastern edge of Wisconsin, the biggest city in the state, you know what it's called?
Milwaukee.
Yeah, no, except if you're from Milwaukee, it's called Milwaukee. It's two syllables.
Milwaukee.
So, wow.
It's dialect variation. So, Chris, lay off her.
There is no dialect that dictates someone says
it's
disparage.
Tomato. It's tomato, tomato.
Actually, Chris, you're dead wrong about that, because in Milwaukee, in fact, they say disparage. They say words like
that's wonderful, but Stephanie isn't broadcasting from Milwaukee.
I'm broadcasting to Milwaukee.
Stephanie is from Buffalo, and if you look at dialect maps, you'll find that Buffalo and Milwaukee, just as an example, are in the same dialect group.
You're enabling her, you know.
Thank you.
You're an enabler.
And you know what? And she's worth enabling. So
thank you.
Have a nice,
so don't
have
disparage
nice
your pronunciations.
Thank you, Gary.
Right.
I love you.
I love you, too.
You stay
bye-bye.
With me.
I leave you how.
Okay, fine.
You shush.
It's a dialect variation.
Fine, okay.
You shush, atomic ass. Who asked you?
Various.
Yes, every mispronunciation is a dialect
right.
variation.
Right,
yes.
Okay.
To people that love me. What
welcome
did you just do with your hand, mister?
Nothing.
Welcome to planet Earth. It's a dialect variation.
Speaking of storms, not the one Jim endured again this morning.
Right.
Boy, did we stir up a storm with my nephew yesterday.
Oh,
on the Facebook page.
Wow.
My smoking hot nephew. That's not for me. That's for the other people that posted on the Facebook.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, because there was somebody, right, that, first of all, can I just say, Chris tries to get me in trouble because I don't do the comments as the Stephanie Miller Show. Chris does.
So
you insulted the gay guy because he said he turned it off the minute he said he was bisexual because he said, I'm sure a lot of gay men did. And, you know, and you said it was actually, it was true. You said, I'm sorry, you're so close-minded. Maybe you would have enjoyed the conversation.
No, I said, I think you would have enjoyed the
right.
conversation.
Because that was what the conversation was about, is a lot of gay men think that
right.
it's...
Exactly.
Right.
But they wouldn't have understood all the dialect variations, so...
Thank you, Jim.
And that comment sounded rather indignant. You know?
How dare you!
Snap. I am turning the radio off immediately.
I'm like, wow. Okay.
That was the whole point of the conversation. Right. Is that, you know, this is why there's they call it biphobia, because
exactly.
People don't believe, you know, a lot of people don't believe it, or they think it's, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody was quoting Carrie Bradshaw, dated a bi guy, and said, I think it's just a way station on the, you know, on the way to Gayville, or he's on a layover on the way to Gayville or something. Anyway. But from a lifetime of, you know, living with, I can tell you, it's like, you know, laughing with the doors opening. I'm like, oh, boy, oh, girl, okay.
Okay.
Man. Let's see. Robin in Pleasanton, California writes, Steph, my in-laws are very right-wing, believe a person's sexuality is a choice and not something a person's born with. After many discussions telling them there's no way anyone would choose to be ostracized from their family and bullied in society, I finally came upon the fact that if sexuality was a choice, there would be many more lesbians in the world. I pointed out that men, for the most part, are difficult to live with and are a lot of work. I believe the word hole came up a lot. I'm sure being in a gay relationship has its own difficulties, but at least you understand each other. Whenever I get upset with my husband and try to explain to him why, it's like trying to explain a rainbow to a blind person.
Yeah.
Just Robin with her two cents, huh?
I don't think being bi is really a choice either. This is something that
yeah, well, there's always been a B in the LGBT, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. Not always.
Really?
It was added probably about 15 years ago.
Oh, all right. Well, okay. I did. There was one question I did forget to ask him, and I asked him over dinner, because I've always perceived him as having a fear of commitment, and I don't know whether that was a regular guy thing.
Has he ever been married?
No. No, and so, because I've heard a psychologist say that, too, that oftentimes people that have a fear of commitment, it's not unusual that they will try both sexes.
Okay.
And so, but he was saying that the fear of the labels is what's maybe kept him. He feels like now that he can embrace the label bisexual, he mm-hmm. could be in a committed relationship with either a man or a woman,
sure.
Which is interesting. I think because a lot of people, they don't want the label. I know a lot of people. I know I have friends. I have, you know, a lot of women friends like that that don't want the label. And I think that, you know, the kids today, what do they call them, Chris, the millennials?
Yeah.
They're all about the sexual fluidity.
Are they?
Yes.
Maybe you should on all about sexual fluidity.
Maybe you should search in the millennial pool.
Go swim and take a little dip. Take a dip in the millennial pool.
Yeah, why not?
And then Tom Brokaw can do a report on that.
Tom Brokaw, I'm from the millennial pool.
Or Stephanie Miller taking a little
Stephanie
lesbian.
Miller. Lesbian. Plunge.
Plunge into the millennial
pool.
Anyway, yeah, because, and I get that if you don't, a lot of people don't really like labels of any kind, and so you think, oh, well, if I end up with a guy, then I'm gay, and if I end up with a woman, everyone's going to go, I'm straight, and he, you know, I think a lot of people feel like they want to embrace what their truth is, and
mm-hmm.
it doesn't suddenly take that away. And it also, because the other, I think, thing that bisexuals get tagged with is that they're promiscuous or, you know, whatever you want to say, you know what I mean, in terms of, or not, people are afraid they can't commit, and that's not true. I love my baby nephew.
Aww.
I just wanted to find someone. That's all. Okay, and he is hot, hot, hot. You can go to our, it's still up on our Facebook page?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, from
that's
yesterday.
His IMDb picture, actually.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because
right.
I linked to his IMDb page.
All right. I couldn't be proud. He used to do his Fonzie impression, and I've always been exactly as proud. I'm like, oh, that's good.
And did you play Leather Tuscadero?
When he was five, I was like, oh, good boy, that's the best Fonzie ever. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Thick eyes could melt the butter you kept in your pocket for lunch. Lunch butter, we called it.
Ew.
It is, what?
Lunch butter.
You sit on the pie, Grandpa.
I sure hope so.
Oh, Grampy. What's that about Ukraine? Oh, Grampy. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Ron in Connecticut. Hey, Ron, welcome.
Well, hey. Beth, and Chris, and Jim.
Yes.
I'd like to offer a correction about the historical part of bisexuals in the GLBT movement.
Okay.
There were bisexual activists since before Stonewall. Unfortunately, AIDS really decimated a significant part of the bi-male activist population. But that doesn't mean that they weren't there and that they haven't already been there.
Right. I never said that bisexual activists weren't there.
You said that the B and T were added afterwards.
Well, yes. The phrase LGBT has only been in use since, 15 years ago.
Well, 20 years ago. I mean, I would say.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Ron.
All right.
How do you like being corrected?
Oh, it was 17 and a half years ago. Okay.
Point taken. All right. Okay. Hey, how's that stalker contest going, Natan, for Free Speech TV? How's that?
You give a thumbs up.
Perfect. Joanne writes, Steph, if I had the 1,000, go to freespeech.org, please. Why not? We Who Are About to Die salute you once again. If I had the $1,000, my hubby and I would totally be your stalking fans. I would love to meet Mom and the Mooks, but I'd also know if I walked into your home, though, for a stalky radio studio visit, I would end up playing with handsome and romantic Max and Fred, drink all your wine, cook all your food, and pass out, thereby missing the show. So I'll just donate some money to Free Speech TV and save you and the Mooks from the likes of me. And maybe by August, we'll finally warm up and you could come to my hometown, Albany. The Palace Theater in Albany, beautiful and perfect for sexy liberals.
Cool.
Why, looky there, Albany needs Mama. I'm the same age as you, dear God. And I listen to you on my Sirius app at work. I've turned half my office on to listening to you. They were always asking why I was giggling. Also, I would like to add you and the Mooks are much funnier in your home studio, and I didn't think that was possible.
Hmm.
Well,
who gets the bright yellow walls? It's so sunny.
I don't know why I feel so at home here. I am home. All right. Yeah, how about that guest booking procedure yesterday? I just yelled upstairs, Paul, get up!
Get your ass out of bed!
There you go. Hour number three, in studio guest.
We couldn't do that in the old studio.
I can't eat in studio guest all of hour three.
That's right.
Fun. All right. Okay, so we have Charlie Pierce. We have Bob Seska coming up.
Is that a regional pronunciation?
Yes.
Right. Okay. No, that's my Dear Abby impression.
Okay.
It's because. All right. So
if you're from Abbeville.
I will be talking to Bob Seska about this. Jim, you are aficionado of the occasional conspiracy theory or two.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. A lot of people not fans of Edward Snowden wondering, how did Russia get so good at evading U.S. surveillance, I wonder? One wonders how that happened exactly. Mediaite reporting.
That's a good question.
Just saying. Mediaite saying, so Russia got suddenly good at evading U.S. surveillance efforts, allowing them to get the jump on American intelligence agencies and just kind of show up in Crimea one day, which has led some to wonder if there was a particular event that might have allowed them to so suddenly evade those U.S. surveillance
efforts.
That sounds
like a conspiracy theory.
Uh-huh. Joshua Frost tweeted, I'm sure it's just a coincidence that Russia is suddenly able to evade U.S. SIGINT and has nothing to do with the defector they just got.
That's a wild conspiracy theory.
Mm-hmm.
Who would come up with something like that?
Glenn Greenwald told the Associated Press that Snowden is, quote, in possession of literally thousands of documents that allow somebody who read them to know exactly how the NSA does what it does and would in turn allow them to evade that surveillance or replicate it. Why, thank you, Glenn, for the helpful information.
Yes, well, NSA is spending most of his time, spying on us. So, wonder how they had time to even look at the Russians.
Right. Yes, he's been helpful in every way as a patriot.
Along
all
those
right.
same
yes.
lines, did you see that President Obama is poised to call for an end to bulk data collection of phone records by the NSA?
Uh-huh.
Yes,
good.
Yes, the White House will outline proposed legislation this week that would bring sweeping changes to the NSA's data collection program.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me, I was getting to that.
Oh.
All right. Although I don't see anything nefarious in what you just did.
Nefarious?
Just adding to the conversation.
Nefarious.
Just piling on Jim a little more.
All right. Exactly. President Obama has said that we should kick Russia out of the G8, obviously. He will urge leaders of major industrial nations to indefinitely suspend Russia from the Group of Eight and push members to spell out additional sanctions against Putin for his intervention in the Ukraine, as long as Russia is flagrantly violating international law and the order that major powers have constructed since the end of the Cold War. There's no reason to engage with Russia, said Obama's deputy national security advisor. What Russia has done has been a violation of the entire international order built up over many decades, the president yesterday.
Europe and America are united in our support of the Ukrainian government and the Ukrainian people.
We should get Gorbachev back. That would be very helpful.
Yeah, he was very helpful.
Yeah.
But
was it just me though that every time he was on TV I wanted to go?
They hit the thing after. What is that? What is that?
There's a little grape
jam. How'd you get grape jam up there?
You do that to me at least three times a show. Now that I'm snacking in my home studio, you're just like, what?
There's like a big
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. All right, the president again.
We're united in imposing a cost on Russia for its actions so far. Prime Minister Rutte rightly pointed out yesterday that growing sanctions would bring significant consequences to the Russian economy.
And the NATO Supreme Allied Commander yesterday.
The force that is at the Ukrainian border now to the east is very, very sizable and very, very ready.
By the way, Charlie Pierce writes a great thing. We'll talk to him later about Mitt Romney. Shut the up and go away. This is why you didn't get elected.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. He's on all the shows. Like, I told the president. It's like, oh, I'm sure if a man named Mitt was president, Putin would have been really scared.
And also the president.
Whatever, Willard.
President.
I would have done something.
And President Obama is privy to a hell of a lot more intelligence and knows a hell of a lot more about what's going on than Mitt Romney ever will.
You know what the president should say to him? Stop it. This is hard. You want to do this? Get in the ring. Oh, you tried to get in the ring, but you lost. So,
yes,
stop it. This is hard. You want to try it?
Yeah.
Get in the ring.
All right.
But Obama
this
doesn't have
hard.
Binders of women.
Right.
Binders full of women.
Right.
That's true.
So, here is mittens.
But there's no question but that the president's naivete with regards to Russia and his faulty judgment about Russia's intentions and objectives has led to a number of foreign policy challenges that we face.
So what would you have done, Mitt?
Yeah.
Same thing, but I would have done this with my hands.
Yeah, that's basically what Charlie Pierce writes.
Yeah.
Oh, I would have sanctions, but ones that
sanctiony sanctions.
Right.
More sanctimonious sanctions than you have. I know how to do sanctions.
By the way, Harry Reid tweeted, Republicans delayed this Ukraine aid package for 10 days because they want an amendment to protect the Koch brothers.
Oh, you bastards. Oh, my God.
Senate Democrats accused Republicans of holding up aid to the new Ukrainian government and sanctions against certain Russian officials in the hopes of getting the Obama administration to end plans for a proposed regulation that would dramatically change how nonprofit groups engage in political activity. Reid said, this is hard for me to comprehend how with a clear conscience they can say, Ukrainians, we probably can't help you because we're trying to protect the Koch brothers. And not only that, they're saying to the American people that protecting the Koch brothers is more important than protecting our country. Good for him for speaking out. Do you see Ted Cruz? I can't believe they're disparaging American citizens on the Senate floor. Oh, those poor Koch brothers. By the way, guess who owns the Canadian tar sands, pretty much?
The
Koch brothers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Gee. I wonder why they're so keen on that pipeline. Oy. When they're not pumping their money into right-wing radio show ads. How about a little press over here?
Wow.
All you have
You're
to
exercising
do...
exercising a lot of demons this morning, aren't
yes,
you?
Yes, I am.
All you have to do is agree to letting the entire planet die a slow, horrible death.
Yeah.
So that the Koch brothers can get even richer.
Right. Exactly.
That's all it is.
Exactly.
Priorities. Come on.
You're right, Chris. I did give you a little peek into our magical world of radio.
Yeah.
Well, everybody knows this. Rush Limbaugh scared most of the advertisers away from all of radio with his slutathon about Sandra Fluke. And so to prop up right-wing radio shows, the Koch brothers are buying ads.
That's right.
Yep.
By the way, did you hear my buddy Ed Schultz gave me a shout-out and said, guess who had higher ratings on our station here in L.A. than Rush Limbaugh does currently?
Stephanie Miller.
Hey. Yeah, thanks.
Yep.
But, you know, it's just it's a bad business thing, as you know. Liberal radio, it's better to have the lower ratings. You've been misinformed. That's easier to sell when you... They don't like the big... Advertisers don't like the big numbers. It scares them. They're like, I don't... That's... What?
Do you need an aspirin?
Maybe we can entice Spaghetti to drop by if we have, like, bunches, you know, cases of Guinness flying around here.
Oh, I will see. You know where I'll see Big Eddie? He's doing a rally in Madison Friday night.
Ah, cool.
He's going to be the opening act, essentially, for Sexy Liberal, which has been sold out for 1,000 years at the Barrymore Theater in Madison this Saturday. Oh, did I say sold out? Because as I was just mentioning, there's no market for any sort of liberal thought. And that's why...
That's why it's sold out.
That's why free speech is, traffic is up 1,300%.
Huh.
and all our fans are being so very, very generous because there's no... Move along. There's nothing more to see here.
Travis, if you're listening out there, could you get a bottle of wine from that wine refrigerator?
Yes.
And she needs it desperately.
Stat.
And an aspirin.
Get an IV going.
And an aspirin.
Nobody help me. 45 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Stephanie Miller Show. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting with HD Faces by Citrix, the powerfully simple way to meet and collaborate with your team online. How would I know where Jim is in his Imodium schedule if I did not have GoToMeeting? Start your free 30-day trial of GoToMeeting today. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, and enter that promo code Stephanie. All right, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Mike in West Virginia on the Coke Suckers. Hello, Mike.
Hey, good morning, Mama. Good morning, Moose.
Good morning.
You know, I have some respect for Charles and David, but they inherited their money. They didn't make it. They didn't earn it.
Yeah.
You know, and like Mitt Romney, they're demonstrating how to make money with more money.
Yeah.
Although they also own portions of Wichita State and Florida State, which should scare the hell out of everyone.
Yeah.
Because, you know, required reading in their business curriculum is Ayn Rand and all those ridiculous things.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's very, very frustrating, and unfortunately they have all the money, but I also think the Democrats need to continue to grow a set, as the sexy liberal tour has taught everyone.
Thank you very much, and thank you for bringing that magically full circle back to me. Okay, thanks very much. Thank you. And Linda in North Carolina. Hi, Linda.
Hi, how are you today?
Good, go ahead.
Good. I've been listening to your show and your comments about the Koch brothers and their supporting conservative radio, and I was just wondering why it's never brought about that your station, Progress Radio, I believe used to be called Media Matters.
What?
And
no.
Is
no, I'm not.
Never been associated with Media Matters, ever.
Media Matters has nothing to do. No, Eric Bowler we have on for Media Matters. That's a totally different.
He's a guest, but
yeah.
They don't own radio shows. Or anything.
Okay, so it was never Media Matters Radio, or
no.
You've never been?
No.
No.
Okay, well then I've got that wrong.
Okay then.
I'm guessing you heard that on right-wing radio.
Yes.
Right. Okay, because right. Media Matters is supported by George Soros.
Yes, they are. They
so,
yes,
partially,
they do get some money from George Soros, absolutely.
Okay. All right, well, thank you very much.
Oh, she thought she was going to trap us into something.
Wowee.
Isn't that adorable?
Ouch.
Media Matters. Ah, Soros, I gotcha.
J'accuse.
Communism.
That was adorable.
Ha.
She tried.
I know. Well, I love this. Koch brothers like fund every right wing cause in the country, every right wing whatever. And
but
we
have some
vague. There's a rich liberal. What? What?
What? Is that legal?
And by the way, they connect George Soros to everything liberal. And by the way, we've had George Soros on the show. Did I not directly ask him for
you
money?
You did.
And what did he say?
He laughed.
He says no.
That's rich. That's a knee slapper.
Yes, but Media Matters does get some money from George Soros.
Yes,
they
do. You
are correct. And your point would be? Okay. All right. You know I like my news happy clappy. Sean Pierce, who is Randy Rhoads' producer,
yes.
Who is apparently also part-time producing for me, says...
Should I be concerned about this?
Yes.
Oh, dear.
because we were talking about Nate Silver, because obviously everybody is scared, because he's... all the math, what he said basically is there is a 60% chance that Republicans will retake the Senate. Nate Silver's margin of error, the subject, Sean says, here's what Nate's math means. At best for Republicans, they will pick up 11 seats in the Senate. At best for Democrats, Republicans will pick up one seat in the Senate. As Nate notes, there are 10 races that could go either way. So if Dems sit on their asses and do nothing, it's 2010 all over again. And I think that was exactly his point. If those of us on the left get up, get out, get the poor, minorities, workers, sane people, and everyone else who supports us into the voting booth, Republicans get a charity seat. So, yeah, that's I mean, to me, it's the same thing we've been saying, turnout, turnout, turnout. Mm-hmm. And that's what the president said. Like, we tend to get clobbered in midterms because we don't turn out at the same,
yep.
You know, to the same degree we do in presidential. So, all right. And also, he wanted me to say it's 54 after. Jesse in Virginia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jess. Hi, Jesse. Mm-hmm. Maybe I didn't do it right. Who can say? Hi, Jesse.
Oh, hi.
Oh, there you are. Hello.
I wasn't on the air earlier, right?
Yes. No, go ahead.
Okay. I'm down here in the Old Dominion. I was just talking about, want to talk about, you know, Terry McAuliffe, our governor, mm-hmm. just got a new deal for, you know, the Medicaid expansion where we can accept it for 2 years, and then if it's not working, you know, we can withdraw with no penalty. And within minutes of him making this announcement, the House, you know, used to be called the House of Burgesses, it's the House Representatives in Virginia, immediately were, oh, no, we need to evaluate this. We need to look at it. And I mean, come on, this is 400,000 people in our state. A lot of hospitals depend on it. And this Republican obstructionism, I'll be so glad when we can get around that. We've just got to wait for the millennials to grow up. But
yeah, well, let's hope we don't have to wait that long.
Yeah.
Here we're back in the millennial pool again.
He was telling Travis that he wanted to talk about the Koch brothers.
I'm not sure what happened there.
Yeah,
something
I don't
went awry.
Right? Yeah.
It's tricking Travis Day.
I guess so.
By the way, speaking of happy clappy, Julie, fine America, mm-hmm. our friend in Seattle, who just gave us the update on the horrible mudslide. Everybody, be safe. Speaking of things that oppress and anger women, here's one, the GOP, and they are not going to win the Senate. Why? Because they're going to continue to offend women and lose seats that bean counters like Nate Silverthinger are shoo-in. How can anyone declare the odds of the outcome of Senate 2014 when the campaign hasn't even been run yet? That's why Nate Silver was wrong about several Senate seats in the past. He's failing to factor in Republican old men running their mouths without regard for the fact that everything goes national now. For example, Nate Silver predicted Harry Reid would lose to Sharon Engel, and then she opened her big crazy yap. Same with the legitimate rape idiot who lost to Claire McCaskill, and also probably pushed Heidi Heitkamp, such as she is, over the top in North Dakota. So, yeah, it is still early is the point. And what I get afraid of is that they're going to, they're using it to depress the vote, for us to go, oh, you know, we're not going to win, gerrymandering, blah, 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 might as well not turn out.
Right.
Lost the House, poo, going to lose the Senate. All right. By the by, I always like to, because, you know, we talk a lot about marriage equality and such issues. So I always like to feature one, you know, straight people
okay.
stack. Police in North Carolina have arrested a man accused of sucking on a woman's toes at Walmart after convincing her that he was a podiatry student. That old scam again. They're pretending you're a podiatrist at Walmart. You can get women to try out shoes. The woman agreed to try on several pairs of shoes. At some point, the man stuck her foot in his mouth. Police say when the woman became upset, the man offered to pay for her groceries.
As long as he could suck on her other foot.
Well. Wow. That's just, I don't even know how many layers of weird. Okay, can I suck on your foot at Walmart? No, how about if I pay for your groceries?
Well, in that case.
Do you think she just went?
Computer says yes.
All right. All right, and this one, a British man is accused of assaulting his wife after she refused to stop singing Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead after his mother's death.
Oh. Witch, oh, bitch.
Oh, Lord.
The witch is dead. I'll give you all the details of this. It ended with purple nurples, which is never good.
Does all the right. news story actually say purple nurple?
No, but...
That's what it is.
There was some twisting, is all I'm saying. Okay. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
What are you cleaning up over there?
Nothing. Just a loogie of Max clobber on my computer. Wow. I feel like we're back in the porn studio.
Yeah.
What is that?
You don't want to know.
Well, this morning there was a lot of, like, drops of something over there.
Max, it was Max.
Yeah. And you're like, I need to get ready for the show. Can someone else clean that up?
Listen, I made you chicken sausage yesterday. You just shush.
You did, and it was very, very,
very
good.
Thank you. And Travis as well.
Yeah.
Who, by the way, Travis, I think he just did that to make my to make me feel better about my life.
What?
But he apparently is infuriated with your shirt today.
He is. He hates my shirt.
Because it shows Spider-Man beating...
Spider-Man is wrestling Venom.
Arm wrestling Venom.
And apparently Spider-Man is winning, and Travis is just...
Right.
Livid.
Livid. That... Because this would never happen.
Oh,
Venom would always win.
Okay.
Wow.
All right. I suddenly, magically, there's a little sliver of hope in my life.
You don't live in comic book land.
Who is Venom?
He's a villain in the comic books, apparently.
Oh, I see.
But spiders have Venom, too, so...
Right.
You're trying to apply logic to the comic book universe.
Okay. Kelly writes, I'm stalking Natan. Natan, our free speech director, right over there in the corner.
Natan has fans. Uh-huh.
I think this note is for you. Hey, Muscle Mary, play something romantic.
Muscle Mary?
You can't boss him around like that. Play something romantic, Muscle Mary.
I'll take that as a compliment.
Natan, I don't know if Kelly is a man or a woman. Who can say? Because...
That's... unisexual name.
You might as well, welcome to the Stalker Club. Dear Mama, thank you for turning the camera on that yummy Natan. Even though you mangled my love letter, whatever, it did the trick. Natan has a stalker. Good for you. Welcome to the club, Natan. Tell him not to be too worried, though. I live a few thousand miles away. I have a bad back, and I'm kind of lazy. So, so basically, if he gets caught, he was asking for it. Natan's stalker, Kelly in Fort Lauderdale.
Wow.
All right. Listen, you're all going to get caught in the crossfire when whoever wins the $1,000 stalker contest on Free Speech TV. FreeSpeech.org, everybody. Go. I would go get the Stephanie Miller swag for the lower donation levels. Don't do
messenger
that.
Bag.
Yeah, don't. Right? Man. Who doesn't want a nice Stephanie Miller messenger bag, hoodie, sweatshirt, coffee, baseball cap, all that stuff? Not a coffee cap. It's a coffee mug, and then there's a baseball cap.
Put it all in the messenger bag.
Right. Exactly. Okay, let's see. This one, I guess, is a James. Steph, I'm retired and on a limited income, the $1,000 donation plus travel expenses required to do a meet and greet is unlikely. However, having a rich fantasy life, I can tell you how I would appear at the said studio tour. Jeffrey Dahmer haircut, heavy thick glasses with frames held together by duct tape. A plaid western shirt complete with pocket protector full of pens and pencils, tan polyester slacks about 3 inches too short, black socks and tennis shoes. I would mumble and make no eye contact during the entire event.
Wow.
My fantasy would then continue as I imagine all of you sweating bullets trying to figure out just when I would sneak back in with a chainsaw and ice picks. P.S. I'm kidding. You would all be completely safe. I worked at the post office for 30 years and never once killed anyone. Oh, there were a couple guys that were just begging for it.
James.
If we do the background check, that might be a little, like, I don't know, worked at the post office, didn't kill anyone. Although we might be just ready to snap, who can say?
Oh, boy.
All right, this is a straight stack.
What? What stack?
Straight stack. Because, when we talk about gay issues, I just like to point out how every straight couple has impeccable family values, including this guy, who I mentioned before the break. I know you wanted details and how it led to purple nurples.
Yeah.
A British man accused of assaulting his wife after she refused to stop singing Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead after his mother's death.
That's kind of funny.
He became furious over his wife's repeated singing of the Wizard of Oz tune, so he packed up all of her belongings and left them outside of the home before locking her out. Aw, like the Flintstones cat. She reportedly took refuge in an outside shed where she became locked in thanks to her husband. After escaping from the shed's window and gaining entry into the home, the couple scuffled and the woman ran upstairs. That's when he's accused of throwing her on the bed, putting his arms across her throat, and twisting her breastises.
How many arms does he have?
I was going to say, wow.
He must be a Marvel hero or some comic book guy.
Maybe he's Venom.
Multiple arms. That's a skill.
I don't know.
No, so he... twisted the entire breast?
Apparently. I don't.
That's more than a purple nurple.
Well, right. There's not a lot of details.
All right. We don't want the details either.
No,
so,
we don't.
Yeah,
I don't.
We want to remain blissfully ignorant.
I just wonder if she was still singing the song. during the scuffle and the ensuing.
As coroner, I must have her. I thoroughly examined her, and she's not only merely dead, she's really most sincerely dead.
I'm going to go on a limb and say, I don't think she cared for his mother. All right, and Drunk Stack. Wait, Drunk Stack often meets future husband Stack.
Sure.
Man drinks 10 too many Jaeger shots. Ooh. Allegedly starts bar fight and a fire.
I thought we were going to say allegedly starts barfing, which after 10 Jaeger shots probably would.
That's going to happen. Yeah.
How many Jaeger shots is too many Jaeger shots? One Florida man. Florida, of course.
Of course.
Hopefully learned his limit after police arrested him Friday for punching two bar patrons and setting a trash can on fire. And that would be the number was 10. He drank 10.
10. 10 shots.
I have never read a story about Jaeger shots that ends well in any way.
It's basically cough syrup. It's what, you know, hunters take with them out in the forest when they're chasing wild boar.
Like the first one or two are delicious. Then they start to get, you start to get the heaves after you do them.
I'm just saying I've never had anyone start a sentence with, so I was doing Jaeger shots, and then the story ends well in any sort of magical way. All right. Marnie in Wisconsin, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Marnie.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
Love you. Love
Thank
the show.
You. Thank you.
I had one quick question.
Okay.
What do we do with these people that just refuse to vote, no matter, you know, what we point out to them, and
mulch.
They still refuse.
Mulch.
We get the back of their pants and the scruff of their neck, and we carry them to the voting booth, and we throw them in there.
I say we turn them into Soylent Green.
I can do that.
All right.
Put them in a
like a kitten. You pick them up like a kitten, and you bring them to the voting booth. Meow. Meow. All right, guess who's pissed again? 1 million moms, who we think is maybe a couple of guys in a basement, but...
I think it's one mom in her mom's basement.
They're optimistically named.
Yeah.
Hmm. Isn't the... seriously, isn't it a guy? Or is that Concerned Women for America?
Concerned Women for America is headed by a guy.
Right. Yeah. It's a guy.
Concerned Joel is very concerned.
Right. And you know I'm concerned about that because I'm president of Women Who Don't Give a Flying.
That's right.
1 million moms outraged now over... Did they just, that's the template, just outraged over, and then there's just a blank.
Fill in the blank.
Over.
Sure.
Because, you know, they protested not just Ellen when she advertised for JCPenney, also Sweaty Balls ice cream.
That's right. Because they were concerned about that.
We're concerned about them because we're saying if you don't like lesbians or Sweaty Balls, what...
What do you like?
How might we help you?
Don't drink, don't smoke. What do you do?
Help us help you.
Help us help you. 1 million moms are targeting Nabisco over its This Is Wholesome campaign that features a prominent same-sex couple and their children. Why, look.
Shocking.
Oh, my God.
Disgusting.
Nabisco should be ashamed of themselves for attempting to normalize sin, said the group in its latest.
Well, sin is normal. Read the Bible.
The company behind Honeymaid, Graham Crackers, and Teddy Grahams unveiled the diversity-rich advertising campaign earlier this month, featuring same-sex parents among its collection of real American families. This commercial not only promotes homosexuality.
Oh, shocking. Sickening.
I think it promotes
crackers.
Graham crackers.
Yeah.
But, all right.
You know what's funny about that?
What?
They're protesting about Graham crackers that are supposed to be wholesome. The Graham cracker was originally conceived as a health food as part of the Graham diet, a regimen to suppress what he considered unhealthy carnal urges.
Uh-huh.
Reverend Graham would often lecture on self-abuse, as masturbation was commonly called at the time. So it was invented to help prevent...
Graham crackers keep you from
masturbating
and thinking gay thoughts, presumably.
Well, they are then not obviously Franklin Graham crackers, because he was not...
And that's directly from the Wikipedia page, by the way.
Or Billy Graham crackers.
All right. Our friends Audra and Kate, whom we love, I will see them Saturday at Madison Sexy Liberal. Guys, I'm going to redo my Chicago promo so it mentions the Jim and Chris Factor.
What?
People are very excited about the Jim and Chris Factor, the Chicago theater show, April 26th. I am so excited. I'm really happy to get the chance to meet Jim and Chris in Chicago. Chris, can we arm wrestle? Steph?
Sure. Yeah,
yes.
Absolutely.
Okay, good. Steph, can we have a burp off? Yes. And Jim, can I just hug you for a very long time? Mm.
That sounds good.
Mm. Oh, all right. That is Steph, see you, Madison. Audra and Kate, be delightful. All right, 16 minutes after the hour. Speaking of which, look at what they did.
Yellow. Oh, hiya, Sandy. Yeah. Yeah, I heard today on the radio. Yeah, I'm going. You betcha I'm going. This winter has just sucked. I've just been freezing my keister off with my kitty cats. Yeah.
they're depressed too. I mean, everybody's depressed. Even the damn birds are depressed.
Oop-da.
Come here, Molly.
The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour is making its way to the State Theater in Minneapolis, Saturday, June 7th, 8 p.m.
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding me? I already know what I'm going to wear. Yeah, I got a satin black tube top for the meet and grope. Yeah, you betcha I do.
The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour. Starring John Fugelsang, Carlos Elzaraki, and Stephanie Miller.
I'm so excited to get out of the house and party with some sexy liberals. Yeah, because it's been just a crap show here in the Minnesota.
I think my cats are happy, too. Oh, that's good to know, Sandy. I'll see you there. Okay, then. Yeah, yeah. Goodbye.
Click.
Thank you, Audra and Kate. Go to sexyliberal.com to find out everything there is to know about Sexy Liberal. To get your tickets there, don't go to any of the scalper sites.
No. No suck. Scalper sites.
All right.
They're evil.
Exactly. All right. It is 17 minutes after the hour. Steph presumably went to go take some Imodium.
Now we know her Imodium schedule.
Exactly. So we'll be right back here on the Stephanie Miller Show with your calls at 1-800-STEPH-1-2.
Look, the two symbols of the Republican Party, an elephant and a big fat white guy who's threatened by change.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
What, do you love it or you don't care? What is it? Which one?
Which is it?
I'm ambivalent, but I like it a lot. I don't give a rat's patootie, but I like it.
Ambivalent's hard to get in the song.
I'm getting ambivalent.
They captured it.
22 minutes after the hour. Charlie Pierce of Esquire.com coming up at the bottom of the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. We were talking about the latest Malaysian Airlines flight.
Yeah.
Jim, we were saying earlier, we were just glad that the text did not contain an emoticon that notified the relatives of the passengers. They actually texted the family members about. Yeah. Nice. China has now demanded that Malaysia turn over the satellite data used to conclude that a Malaysia Airlines jetliner has crashed in the southern Indian Ocean, killing everybody on board. Because, you know, some relatives are saying there's no wreckage, there's still no confirmation for them.
Yeah. It'd be good to know.
Right, and you were saying there's gale force winds and heavy rain has halted the search for the remains of the plane.
It's becoming winter down there. That's the stormy season in the southern Indian Ocean.
Even though it's been spotted now by, I think, three different, satellite images. So that's, heartbreaking for the families. All right. So I was doing, I did straight stack.
You did?
Yeah. So this isn't really gay stack. It's just a right-wing homophobe stack. Let's see. In 1987, the newest member of Wyoming state legislator wrote a book called The Death Sentence of AIDS, in which he blamed the AIDS epidemic on homosexual terrorism and argued that people with the virus should be quarantined.
Huh.
Like old Yeller.
Sure.
Last weekend, that guy, Troy Mader.
Yep.
Mader. I don't know how you say it.
I just met her.
Uh-huh. Was chosen to fill the seat.
Oh, boy.
Fill the seat.
Don't. Of a state representative who died earlier this year. He defended the book, admitting that while some of the information might need updating.
You think?
He still fully stands by the core idea that gays are more promiscuous than straight people, and this promiscuity led to the AIDS crisis.
You know who else got AIDS a lot were hemophiliacs,
right,
through no fault of their own.
Yep.
Right. In other news, South Dakota State Representative Phil Jensen thinks businesses should be able to deny services based on customers' race, religion, or sexual orientation. He'd like to expand the discrimination, actually.
Great. That's what we need, more discrimination.
Yes. In defending a now-dead bill he sponsored proposing just that, he told the Rapid City Journal he thinks businesses should also be able to choose their clientele based on race or religion and let the free market decide if that's right or wrong.
Well, so. I think the free market has decided that it's wrong.
Oh, and hopeful news that Travis cannot be more excited about.
Oh.
9-year-old Grayson Bruce, remember, in North Carolina?
Oh, yeah.
Whose school essentially blamed him for the bullying because he brought his Rainbow Dash
yep.
bag.
So he's asking for it.
Right. Rather than punishing the kids who punched, shoved, and called him names, saying a lunchbox is a trigger for bullying is like saying a short skirt is a trigger for rape, mm-hmm. said his mother.
Yep.
After a meeting with her and the pressure of 70,000 likes on support for Grayson Facebook, they have decided to allow him to bring his My Little Pony bag back to school.
I think he should bring his My Little Pony nunchucks. What was that?
They treated him like he was the bad boy instead of treating right. the bullies like they were.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That's... Instead of saying, don't do that.
Right.
Tim. Right.
Stop asking for it.
All right.
Boom. You like that? Is that hurt? Is that hurt? Huh? Is that hurt?
I don't. I do not believe there is My Little Pony nunchucks, kids. In case you're listening.
Oh, you'd be surprised. you'd be surprised what My Little Pony things are out there.
We've already seen the line of sex toys.
My junior high school bully, which he's just a thug. You got punched me in the shoulder. I think, does that hurt?
Yeah.
Boom. Does that hurt?
Yep.
Yep. Still hurts. He just got bored eventually.
Yep.
Oh boy. Yeah, okay. Speaking of bullies, I mentioned this yesterday, but this story, we've mentioned it before, it makes me so mad in the LA Times how anti-gay Christians evangelize.
Is that a regional pronunciation?
Yes, that's how we say it in Buffalo.
In Buffalo.
And Lackawanna. In countries where American evangelicals market their culture war, persecution follows. This is not a coincidence that they're enacting these unbelievably horrific laws in Uganda, even in Russia. And it just kills me. It's because they've essentially lost the culture wars mm-hmm. here in America. I'm reading this piece in the Times. If you live in the U.S., it's easy to be lulled into thinking the battle for broader civil rights for gay people is nearly over. That's not true, however, in other parts of the world. Because I remember thinking when all these laws, I'm like, what is going on? Like, while we're moving forward, these laws are so, and it's because of American
yep.
Christians.
Yep.
I mean, it's unbelievable. It's like, oh, you can't persecute people in this country anymore, so you got to go. I mean, what do you care if some Ugandan somewhere, ends up in prison for life? Anyway.
They're outsourcing hate.
Yeah, exactly, Jim. Thank you. The vitriol that has fueled U.S. cultural wars for so long is now being exported, and some of our most ardent culture warriors are finding a far more receptive audience abroad. what is this about if it's not just about hatred? It's incredible to me. In nations such as Uganda, Russia, Nigeria, and Belize, an insidious homophobia engineered in America is taking root.
American-made homophobia.
This piece in March 2009 when I was in Uganda, blah, blah, blah. I was invited to a 3-day conference on homosexuality hosted by the Family Life Network, which is based in New York. And the key speaker, my nephew mentioned him yesterday, Scott Lively. He introduced himself as the leading expert on the international homosexual agenda.
Mm.
I filmed Lively over the course of 2 days as he instructed religious and political leaders about how gays were coming to Uganda from the West to recruit children into homosexuality.
Right.
He claimed that a gay clique that included Adolf Hitler was behind the Holocaust.
What?
And he insinuated that gay people fueled the Rwandan genocide.
Wait a minute. Hitler put homosexuals in concentration camps.
Right.
He had Ernst Röhm killed.
He put them in first.
Yeah.
Right. And so while...
Well, gypsies, then homosexuals, then...
Did you catch the second part? The gay people fueled the Rwandan genocide? But they're treating him like an expert over there. Like, well, we think he's a crackpot. It's because of people like this that they're enacting these laws. I mean, I got to tell you more on this. It's unbelievable. And Charlie Pierce as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
The nicest was
Stephanie Miller,
who you know as the Pittsburgh Poisoner.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Charlie Pierce we will be talking to him in a bit.
Later on. Yes. I don't know when, but...
All right. All right, he is indisposed at the moment.
Yes.
Let's go to Eddie in North Carolina. Hi, Eddie.
How are you doing?
Good, go ahead.
I was just curious. I've been listening to your show, and I hear you talking a lot about LGBT rights, but I hear you guys bashing a lot on Christians and Catholicism, but I never really hear you guys talking about Islam or any countries like that that actually restrict women's rights and actually are allow the killing of gays or LGBT
community. I have talked about that
extensively.
This is a specific story, and I'm not talking about every Christian or Catholic. I'm talking about the event. I'm talking about the evangelicals that go abroad to export hate and homophobia.
America's better than that.
What I'm trying to say is, I mean, the UK just allows Sharia law to be part of their court system, and that is restricts women's rights and opposes LGBT community.
I've never heard that.
Yet I haven't heard you bring it up once.
Where did you
Sharia law?
Yeah, where did you hear about this?
The UK?
The UK is now under Sharia law? The UK is now under Sharia law?
No, the UK is actually, their court system is actually allowing Sharia law to be recognized over there in the UK.
Where did you hear that?
I posted it on your Twitter page.
Oh, well, then it must be real.
You have the keys to our Twitter page?
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Oh, it's on Twitter. Oh,
well,
it must be on Twitter, then,
in that case.
Don't we love the What About Us?
Yeah, but what about...
Okay, because I'm bringing up a story.
Yeah, but Hitler.
Okay. That is in the news about specific evangelical Americans that are behind these anti-gay laws around the world.
Yeah, but you talk about the Muslims.
What about Sharia law
in
the UK? Okay.
You want to read Sharia law? Read the Old Testament.
Yeah. Did you know that if you ban Sharia law, you also ban the Ten Commandments?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there's that. Oklahoma did that by mistake.
Oops.
All right. Let me piss him off some more.
Oklahoma, where the heck I hurt their potato.
I'm telling you a little more about this particular story. We were talking about who's behind these. You know, these didn't just happen by accident. These, you know, what does he call himself? Scott Lively, the foremost expert on the homosexual agenda worldwide.
Sure.
That's how he bills himself when he goes to Uganda and elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. If he says it must be true.
Right. In the U.S., Lively is widely dismissed as an anti-gay firebrand and Holocaust revisionist and general nutcake.
I think we call them a crank.
Right.
He's a crank.
But in Uganda, he was presented and accepted as a leading international authority. The public persecution of LGBT people escalated after Lively's conference, with one local newspaper publishing the pictures and addresses of activists under the headline, Hang Them.
Ugh. Wow.
Lively was also invited to private briefings with political and religious leaders and then to address the Ugandan parliament during his 2009 visit. The next month, Ugandan lawmaker David Bahati, he's the guy behind the anti-gay law, which in its original form, of course, called for the death penalty.
Great.
In recent years, millions of dollars have been funneled from anti-LGBTQ evangelical conservatives to Uganda, funding local pastors and training them to adopt and mirror the culture war language of the U.S. Christian right. Other prominent right-wing evangelicals have also made Uganda appearances, including Rick Warren, the very Reverend Rick Warren.
Hmm.
Lively himself has described his work as a nuclear bomb in Uganda.
Well, that's what Uganda needs.
These conservative evangelicals later distanced themselves from the law, saying they didn't think homosexuality should be criminalized, but it was too late. Yeah, now they're like, what? Oh, my God, where are they getting these crazy ideas from? What? Nigeria has passed a bill almost identical to Uganda's, and Cameroon and Zambia are enthusiastically imprisoning gay people. And let's not forget Russia. In 2007, Lively traveled throughout Russia to, as he put it, bring a warning about the homosexual political movement. He urged Russians, among other things, to criminalize the public advocacy of homosexuality. And as we know, last year, Putin just signed that into law. So this is not happening by accident around the world. The World Congress of Families, based in Illinois, it's some umbrella organization. Their leader said, we're convinced that Russia does and should play a very significant role in defense of family and moral values worldwide. Russia has become a leader of promoting these values in the international arena. This is more of this, like, right-wing Putin crush. Did you hear Franklin Graham slobbering about him?
Oh, yeah.
And how much farther ahead on family values he is than President Obama.
Mm-hmm.
He's a thug and a dictator and a homophobe.
Communism's looking pretty good now, actually, compared to the right-wing thugs.
Oy. Blah, blah, blah. U.S. culture warriors have strategically focused on countries already suspicious of America, often ones with authoritarian leaders eager to turn public attention away from issues of corruption or economic inequality by recasting gay people in their countries as creations of the West. Oh, yeah, we invented it.
Yeah,
right.
These leaders both feed on and fuel existing prejudices. The irony, of course, is these anti-Western policies were created and marketed by Americans. Lively is facing a civil lawsuit in Massachusetts court brought by the African group Sexual Minorities Uganda, which has accused him of violating international law by inciting persecution of the Ugandan gays. Anyway, the piece finishes, they should be held accountable for the persecution of women and LGBT people abroad. If we fail to do so, we'll find that Nigeria, Russia, and Uganda are just the beginning. Good stuff, and pretty terrific.
Yep.
You know, you're right, Jim. Like, what do we export now? Just hate, I guess. Thank God, though, you can still get a Ted Cruz to the Future comic coloring activity book.
That's right. Now sold on Amazon.
Right. And there's some helpful reviews. Don't you read the reviews? I do on
Amazon. I read the reviews all the time. If something has 5 stars, then it must be good.
Right. Would you like to hear the most helpful customer reviews?
Absolutely. Do we need some music for this?
We need some breezy music. Yes,
okay.
We do.
All right. Here we go.
I didn't know how well I'd enjoy this book, seeing as how I only have white crayons, but as it turns out, that's the only color required. Magnificent. Someone else wrote, the only color you need is Prussian blue.
Ah.
Like the Nazi singing group.
Yes. Eric Wilson writes, this book showed up just in time as my daughter had recently finished Connect the Dots Mein Kampf. Someone else wrote, as a woman, I'm not entitled to an opinion. Yeah. And if I needed one, I'd get it from Michelle Bachmann or Sarah Palin. So no need to comment further.
That's great.
And there's more.
Snark
I haven't gotten
much?
To all of them. Snark much? I haven't gotten to all of them.
Oh, by the way, I have I got an email from a listener about
yes.
my shirt.
Oh, yes. Your shirt, in case, for those of you just in Radio Land, it shows Spider-Man beating Venom in a arm wrestling match.
Exactly. And Christopher writes, Mr. Lavoie, Venom is apparently a character? Apparently? You, sir, have no right to wear that awesome t-shirt, which is a depiction of the triumph of good over evil. When you come to Madison, we shall have words, sir. Chris from Madison.
Wow.
So Venom has some blue coffee, and Spider-Man has cafe au lait.
Yeah.
Thank God you're not going to Madison this Saturday with Mama.
No.
But you will be coming to Chicago, so he might want to go to Chicago April 26th, where you and Jim will be, to have words with you at the Chicago Theater.
We're going to have
go
words
to Sexy Liberal Facebook and sexyliberal.com. Pardon me?
If he's a comic book guy, I think I can take him on.
Well, that's why I need to go to the prop store to get Jim's bag of vipers and bag of glass to carry on stage. All right. Andrea in Palm Springs.
Yes, hello there. Good morning.
Hello.
You know, I believe the answer to all these anti-gay hate laws that the Christian fundamentalists are passing in other countries is for America to offer asylum to all the gays and have them come here, and that would be the ultimate irony.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. I mean, it just makes...
And I think it would be legal. You know, the White House, the petition line at the White House is to start a movement for people to sign that, because that it's totally warranted.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it really, it makes you just... just when you thought we've recovered from the damage George Bush did.
Mm-hmm.
Now we got these doofuses going overseas. By the by, sexy liberal Carlos Alzraki, who will join us tomorrow, live in studio.
Yes.
He stepped in a little of it, what was it, a couple of weeks ago? Because he said, what did he say? He said Jan Brewer is, he said President Obama is no better than Jan Brewer on gay rights. Oh, no. And I strongly disagreed. And I get people saying, oh, the president should have come out sooner for gay marriage, blah, blah, blah. I thought there was a great piece recently. I think it was before we went on vacation, but... because I was saying, look, a lot of us have evolved. I've evolved. I'm a gay person, and I never believed that we would have marriage equality in my lifetime. A lot of gay people have felt that. So, I mean, I just think you can't criticize the president for, he didn't do it fast enough, when he's done more for gay rights, as I've said many times, than every other president combined. But this is, do you know Joel Silberman? Do you know who he's?
No.
He's a guest blogger with the LA Times, but he wrote a piece that I thought was really interesting. I was wrong about gay marriage. He said, in the wake of the Texas Supreme Court striking down that state's gay marriage ban and Arizona Governor Jan Brewer vetoing the anti-gay bill, I feel compelled to confess something uncomfortable. I was totally wrong about gay marriage. And he says in 2004, he wrote, a lot of Americans barely even thought about gay people before Ellen came out, I argued hyperbolically. They're emotionally attached to the word marriage. If we can make sure civil unions offer exactly the same legal protections as marriage, why not just do that? I was so naively, embarrassingly wrong. Admittedly, I had a lot of company in my wrongness. I remember thinking that, too. I just was like, ah, whatever, who cares, civil unions, fine. Like, I didn't, you know... I mean, it is interesting that the likes of Ted Olson, who's Republican at the time, the arguments he made, I was like, oh, yes.
He's still a Republican.
I should have been arguing that on behalf of myself, but I... anyway, he writes, and just because all of our leaders from right to left were wrong isn't an excuse for me to have been so wrong, to have undersold my own values because I underestimated the capacity of my country's character to grow, of my countrymen and women to open their hearts and change their minds. I underestimated their empathy. That was wrong. I was also wrong to underestimate the strength of marriage equality proponents who pushed this issue from fringe idea to historic inevitability in just 9 years. And for civil rights, that is incredible. And we thank people like Rob and Michelle Reiner, my good friends. I mean, it really is a lot, and a lot of even gay people, remember, were nervous about all that. Like, oh, they're pushing this too fast, and this is going to backfire, and we shouldn't be, and blah, blah, blah. And then, anyway, he talks about people that are, you know, nine-year-olds today. He said those nine-year-olds were up to wonder how people like me could have gotten it so darn wrong, in part because I was wrong because I forgot history. I overlooked how separate but equal treatments under the law have generally been a lot more separate than they've been equal. And I was wrong because I forgot how people told African-Americans in the 60s that maybe it just wasn't the right time yet. I was wrong because I failed to see, as Andrew Sullivan saw, that the legitimacy of marriage would make gay relationships understandable to straights in a whole new way. I was wrong because I failed to see, or chose not to see, that just as the word marriage carries significant cultural weight among those who oppose marriage equality, it also carries weight with those who seek it. Even if it's just a word, that's what makes the word important. It's more important to people who support marriage equality because they have something to gain, while opponents of marriage equality have nothing to lose. Anyway, good for him. Good for him. All right, 46 minutes after the hour. Oh, more reviews on Ted Cruz's coloring book.
Oh, yay.
As we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
All right, it is the Stephanie Miller Show, 51 minutes after the hour. Charlie Pierce at the top of the hour, and Bob Seska at the bottom of next hour.
Oh, yay.
Very, very exciting. Speaking of fabulous writers, Jim, who said, I was even wrong about the idea of gay marriage being a political loser. Now it's turning into a headache issue for Republicans and a winning wedge for Democrats. Who knew? Not me. I guess I underestimated the political upside of being right. Who said that?
Barry Goldwater.
That was a good guess. That was actually a good guess. Yes, it was. But no, Joel Silberman, this blogger from the LA Times,
cool.
I was wrong about gay marriage. Jim,
who
said, I am grateful that I was wrong, grateful to the friends who pushed unwaveringly for marriage equality, who told me I was wrong, grateful to have to apologize to them for being so stunningly, stupidly, short-sightedly wrong. Who said that?
Charles Nelson Reilly.
Another really good guess. You're doing really well today. No, Joel Silberman. And finally, who said, seriously, my friends, I'm sorry, but thank you. I should never have doubted you, but because you pressed on, you have shifted the tectonic plates of history and made this country evolve. That sea change in public opinion on gay marriage makes me proud of my country, not for the first time, but proud nonetheless. Who said that?
Marcus Bachman.
Another spectacular guest, but no, Joel Silberman. All right. By the way, so who knew that Amazon customer review writers were so funny?
What they are.
In case you were thinking of purchasing the Ted Cruz coloring book?
Uh-huh.
I don't know who even thought of this.
And who hasn't?
Right. Exactly. Let's see here. Okay. As a bigot, it's hard for me to find books that advocate for and advance my position, especially books designed for little kids. Thank God for this book. Now I can stimulate the creativity of my little children while still installing in them important lessons. Lessons like guns are good, healthcare is bad. At least if it comes from a Democrat president, and America is always right. If there are any facts that don't support my positions, I would prefer to ignore them. And I can't ignore them. If I can't ignore them, then I'd like to be able to shout them down. And I want to teach my children the same lessons. Without books like this one, we're in danger of raising a new generation of open-minded and tolerant adults. And it will be impossible to maintain our way of thinking if that happens.
Damn it.
I'm looking forward to the next book in this series. I am not a witch, but if I were, it would be totally okay to cast a spell and turn President Obama into a newt. Let's see. Someone named Matthew wrote, "What a great idea. Unfortunately, my son tried to color in this book, and the GOP arrived to filibuster his coloring activity, so he's not been able to use it yet." See, that's funny. Okay, let's see. DJT wrote, "Brilliant idea. I'm not a fan of his politics, but I have to give Ted Cruz credit for coming up with his coloring book idea. A perfect way to reach the Tea Partiers on their own literary level. The big question remains, will they stay within the lines?" Amy writes, "Finally, I've been struggling to teach my nephew the meaning of hypocrisy. Thankfully, this Ted Cruz coloring book does a magnificent job of illustrating what I've had trouble putting into terms an eight-year-old can understand. I hope they have a Michelle Bachman coloring book so I can teach my niece about feminism." this is a not as described, not a helpful review. Mm. Not as described. "Purchased, but not happy with the results.
Uh-oh.
Pages are too rough on my sensitive areas after defecating." "Only afterwards noted it was a book. Tried to read, made me vomit. As a plus, I now refuse to admit that dinosaurs existed and that that mean man in the White House wants my guns. Not to mention he wants to give my wife an abortion, which is confusing as she is not pregnant." All right.
Customers of Amazon are purveyors of snark, apparently. Mm-hmm.
They're aficionados of the,
yes.
of the snark.
Change it to snarkazon.
By the way, speaking of Ted Cruz, piece in the LA Times on Ukraine, Ted Cruz is not as Reagan-esque as he seems to think. Did you see what he said?
Well, there right. I go again.
Right. He said, "On one side you have the views of John McCain. On the other end of the spectrum you have the views of Rand Paul." He said earlier this month, "My views are very much the views of Ronald Reagan, which I would suggest is a third point on the triangle."
Hmm.
What?
Yes. He says he would impose tougher sanctions on Russia than President Obama has. What does that even mean? That's just more manly sanctions. Sanctions that you don't do wearing mom jeans.
"We begin bombing in 5 minutes."
Right. Let's see. "And authorize U.S. exports of oil and gas to Europe." He says he'd send more missile defense systems to Poland and other Eastern European countries. But he also said he'd begin the process of withdrawing from the START Treaty, which is a proposal that Reagan started. And
sure.
Remember, he wanted zero
right.
nukes.
Right.
Okay. Cruz also says he supports the U.S. loan guarantees to the Ukraine that Obama has proposed. But as Jim said, he would do this with his hands.
Right.
He'd do the same thing, but then...
But in a white way.
One of the most pressing questions is whether the U.S. should send military aid to Kiev. And on that, Cruz does not have a position, which sounds a little waffly and not very Reagan-esque, really.
Kiev chicken with waffles. Yum.
But he said it in that high, annoying, mosquito-like voice of his. A bug zapper when you need it. Okay. That came in handy during that filibuster, because
you just could
not get that whine out of your ears, could you?
I do not like your nice and ham, Sam. I am. Ow!
Oh, boy. All right. So I'm told, and I believe Charlie and Bob write about this week, that Rand Paul is considered now the front runner. What, since Chris Christie has imploded for the Republican? I don't know.
Rand Paul won a straw poll somewhere, and
right.
Therefore, he's the front runner.
Well, I agree with him on the NSA spying thing, but nothing else, pretty much.
Right. That's exactly what this piece is about. Because he went to speak to Berkeley. And what they're warning about, this is my friend Michael Tomosky in the Daily Beast warning about that here we go with another media swoon fest.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Remember, Chris Christie was always so bold and courageous and new and fresh and
Well, yeah.
And that's what he's saying. There's really, like, people agree with him maybe on one thing, mm-hmm. and everything else they're
he's part of the libertarian wing of the Republican Party, but he's never going to get along with the neocon wing of the Republican Party, and
so
the party is just going to remain divided as long as people like him are in there.
Divide and conquer.
Right.
I like it.
Right. Tomosky writes, the likely GOP presidential candidate has anti-surveillance state libertarianism in common with millennials. There's those millennials again. With their sexual fluidity and libertarianism. But that's about all. I don't know how many Berkeleyites Rand Paul really and truly impressed last week. He went to Berkeley.
Mm-hmm.
And so, anyway, we'll tell you what he said, but, you know, they pew, just did a new millennial poll.
Millennial poll.
They disagree with him on every other issue, so this is just another media storyline, like, mm-hmm. Rand Paul, swoon fest. All right, 58 minutes after the hour, Charlie Pierce, Bob Seska, and more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
So little time, so many dopey Republicans. You know when you have to check if it's an Onion headline?
Because yeah.
I was like, what? What? This is in Massachusetts? A Republican put forward a bill banning sex during divorce.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought it was someone making a point about privacy and getting up in people's personal business, but no, it's real.
No, it's real. It's to protect the children. And
someone thinking of the children.
Yeah.
I was like, can you do... Is that Lee? No, it's dead on arrival because... Oh, and then now he's backing away from it, saying, oh, I don't believe in it. I was just doing it for a constituent.
Yeah. Yeah, Senator Ross supported the bill sponsored the bill as a courtesy to a constituent, but he doesn't support it. His staff
won't make progress. No, because that's what legislating's all. What the... Okay. Let's speaking of non-dopey things from Massachusetts,
there's only one man now that understands, and that's the author of Idiot America!
Pierce. Pierce.
Charlie Pierce, political columnist for Esquire.com.
Why is everybody always laughing with me?
Good morning, Charlie Pierce.
Good morning, all.
So, morning. You'd heard about this guy, this Massachusetts no sex during divorce bill.
Yeah, that's really got to fly up here.
Yeah.
in the People's Republic.
And I guess we should stipulate he meant, I guess, no sex with people that are not your spouse is the bill. So that's how I guess...
I think there are issues here that we don't know about, by the way, but...
Yes. By the way, Jim said if you're already at that point of divorce, sex is pretty much banned anyway, if you're talking about with your spouse, generally.
That's a very good point by Jim.
So, Charlie, great stuff this week, as always. You were talking about, this really is incredible. You, Stephanie Simon, you were citing her piece about how taxpayer dollars are being used to fund the teaching of creationist nonsense in direct conflict with the Constitution, several decisions in the federal courts, and over 200 years of scientific achievement and basic common sense. I mean, this is incredible what they're teaching.
Yeah, I mean it's a real red flag for people to not go overboard on charter schools and everything else. I mean, there's a lot going on in that story.
Yeah,
and once again, I feel like I wasted 2 years of my life writing a book because I thought we were coming out of this, and we're not. I mean, it's certainly not that far afield from. You know, what's going on in the Supreme Court today and everything else.
Yeah, the Hobby Lobby case. We'll get to that in a second. But, Charlie, you were saying that, obviously, you can't teach creationism or intelligent design in the public schools, but private schools receiving public subsidies can and do. And you're citing students learn vocabulary with sentences like, many scientists today are creationists. No. No. I mean, but as you say, this should be a gigantic issue. American children are being taught ridiculous hogwash at the public expense. It should, and as you know, you make a great point about the charter schools, that this is a perfect reason to be, let's say, non-enthusiastic.
Yeah, right? not only that, but it's sort of an embarrassment to the world, too. I mean, I talked to a few people when I was doing the book about going. They go to scientific conferences overseas, and people just shake their heads that we're actually still fighting over this.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And as you say, this week the religious liberty scam and the Hobby Lobby case is going before the Supreme Court. I'm sure there will be a religious liberty argument made in defense of making American students dumber when they got to school than they were when they went in. Dear Mother of Jesus, we are a heavily armed nation of wits. The book to which you refer, I imagine, is Idiot America, correct?
Yes.
Just kind of
still available at Amazon.
Thank you.
Prices.
Yeah. Thank you. as you go on to talk about here's some stupid for lunch about the Creation Museum. There is
yeah,
a museum.
Yeah, Ken Ham, my main fellow, the creator of my favorite place in America.
Yeah, with the Creation Museum in Kentucky, right?
Right.
In Kentucky, of all places. Who knew?
And oddly, you point out that he is displeased with Bill Maher, which who could have seen that coming?
Yeah, he has an interesting point of view. Bill Maher is going to roast on the spit in hell because God is merciful. That's Ken Ham's argument.
That's exactly what you say. I'm reminded God is a God of grace and mercy. Who will roast you on a spit if you look at
right.
him crossways?
Yep. I tried to read Idiot America, but there are so many big words in it.
Yeah, that's true, Charlie Pierce. You might have thought that through.
I missed an entire demographic.
The hurt jerk demographic.
It's very hard to convince your editor that the non-reading demographic is one you should go after.
We were just talking before the break about Rand Paul. And
Aqua Buddha.
Yes.
My favorite curly-haired phony.
But as you say, he's suddenly become like the quote-unquote front-runner trademark mainstream media, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, one of your several future husbands and my good pal Mountaineer Mike Damaschke pretty
right.
much took him apart in the Daily Beast this week. I mean, no, he's not. I mean, wait. I mean, yes, you know, he makes the right neck noises about the NSA. Not that he'll do anything about it if you ever elect him, or any more than the president's really doing today, apparently. But, you know, on gay marriage, no. Women's right to choose, no.
Right.
I mean, there are limits to his libertarianism that are very interesting.
But you go to the core of, and by the way, I can't believe you yelled out the name of another writer that I'm cheating on you with instead of me. That was awkward.
I'm very open-minded that way.
I know, thank you. But you also talk about this flat tax nonsense.
Brother husbands, the new Stephanie Miller reality show. We all live in the same house together. And Lawrence O'Donnell never takes out the garbage, damn it.
Bob Seska's always an hour three because he's a late sleeper.
Well, you have to put us in different wings.
Yes,
we're always fighting over dinner.
But, again, you take down this flat tax nonsense. You say it's the ongoing wet dream of crackpot plutocrats, a system by which you and Steve Forbes, who ran for president on it, would pay the same rate. It would demolish the progressive income tax forever, starve the beast to the extent even Grover Norquist might get nervous, and coupled with the fact that Aqua Buddha also wants to eliminate the capital gains tax, would pretty much give us the Gilded Age with legalized dope. And as you say, at the end of the day, he's just like the rest of them, except worse, right?
Yeah, because he's got a scam going. Now, I'm not entirely sure how many people he actually fooled at Berkeley, but he certainly got the national press all ginned up.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, you're right. This is the latest, whether it's Paul Ryan or Chris Christie, like, oh, he's new, he's different, he's refreshing, he's... And you're exactly right.
It gives me that fresh all over feeling.
We would never question his freshness. All right, so we've been also talking about the fact that they've been asking Willard Mitt Romney, as you say, what he thinks.
Oh, dear, I know.
Yeah, you say Bob Schieffer thought this what the country needed in these perilous times was a good dose of Willard Romney. You said Bob decided the country had not been condescended to sufficiently, so here we were with him on the Sunday shows criticizing the president. Oh, in fact, let's play that again for you. Do we have that? Here is Mitt Romney talking about the president's stance on Russia.
There's no question but that the president's naivete with regards to Russia and his faulty judgment about Russia's intentions and objectives has led to a number of foreign policy challenges that we face.
Shut up. Shut up and go away. The country had a chance to elect you and it spit in your eye. Go away.
Right. You say Mitt the clairvoyant would have done something, treating Russia like the valet who dented the family Beamer, perhaps. Yeah, I just love this. It's just, I mean, they don't ever say specifically what they would have done, but just that a man named Mitt was president, Putin wouldn't have dared, right?
Well, yeah, and there was a terrific segment on Rachel Maddow's show last night with Ryan Grimm from the Huffington Post, where he explained that the Republicans in the Senate are holding up the aid package to Ukraine, which is, of course, you know, as John McCain said, we are all Ukrainians now, which is very confusing because 5 years ago we were all Georgians.
Right.
I'm waiting for my chance to be an Uzbek so I can wear one of those hats. But, no, Ryan Grimm explained that they're holding up the Ukrainian aid package because they want to attach an amendment which will keep the IRS from investigating 501c4s. So in other words, our plucky Ukrainian allies who were standing firm will have to wait for their aid until we allow, like, True the Vote to be a phony social welfare organization.
Wow.
Oi, oi, oi. And I had missed this, but you said ABC also hosted Dan Senior, the mouthpiece for all the foreign policy disasters of the last administration, to talk about what this administration should do. But upon seeing him, I put a nail gun to my temple and passed out.
Yeah.
Charlie, you need to join the rest of America and stop watching the Sunday shows, I think. Didn't we just read that the
they're actually talking about having a studio audience for Meet the Press.
Oh, you
think? Wow. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't you love to be on it just 1 week?
And apparently that would be more people that are actually watching it around the country.
I mean, you could throw things at Peggy Noonan. It'd be great. Boo! Get off the stage. Get the hook.
Or you could just stop watching the Sunday shows altogether and make brunch for people.
There you go. Talk to people.
Oh, Chris, you're so gay. So who was that guy?
By the way,
who was that guy whose stuff you were reading today?
Which one?
The one, the apology for being against gay marriage.
Oh, Joel Silverman in the LA Times.
That's terrific stuff.
I know, yeah. Wasn't it?
Good for him.
Yeah.
You know?
I know. By the way, speaking of really good stuff, did you see that I gave you another shout out today for all the shout outs you're getting for your Bill Kristol rant?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I mean, I can't even come up with a joke for that one.
I know.
I mean, this is a guy who should be cleaning bedpans at Walter Reed.
You're right.
Preferably with his tongue.
Yeah, they better not put him on if you're in the studio audience.
See, that's what I'm saying. Wouldn't that be great? It'd be like being in the bleachers at Fenway.
You'd be like,
throw batteries at
him with batteries. Yeah.
You'd be throwing shoes like in George Bush. Charlie Pierce, great stuff, honey. Talk to you next week.
Talk to you next week.
All right, there he goes. Charlie Pierce, the one, the only. All right, 17 minutes after the hour, we roll along on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller. She knew how to work it the day she was born. Now she's riding into battle with her high heels on. She's the queen of the West Side, working into dawn. Riding into battle with her high heels on.
Oh, yeah. Down. Choices in life. Jim said he either has to get white pants or I have to get black dogs.
That sounds racist.
It's colorist.
Listen, I have a lint roller every 3 inches in this studio, so, you know, avail yourself. By the way, we forgot to spray Trolby Gone.
Yep.
In the studio, but the guy that said, why are you talking about evangelical Christians and exporting hate about gays when
Sharia law was just implemented in UK?
What about you don't say anything about
it? Yeah, but what about... But what about
right, and that is because that is incorrect.
Yeah. Right. Yes.
That was my favorite response, though, when I said, where did you hear that? I just wrote it on your Twitter.
Well, then
okay.
It's true.
Well, then it must be true.
No, what happened was is that the British Legal Society or whatever, they gave guidance to people who write up wills to in order to conform to people's religious beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And, you know, If someone is Muslim, then they gave him the okay to write up, you know, write up a will according to Muslim beliefs.
Yeah,
that's
what
all
about?
It was.
Okay, Hitler.
It's like the whole death panels nonsense.
Sharia law was not implemented in the UK.
Okay. Right. Okay, John. And why aren't we talking about that, Chris?
Why aren't we talking about that thing that didn't happen?
Yes. What kind of producer are you, John in Illinois? You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, John.
Hey, what's up, Stephanie? How's it going?
Good. Go ahead.
Good. Great. Well, I just want to preface my little comment by saying that I was homeschooled as a kid, still high school, raised in a very conservative home, and I am a Christian. I have a comment on the belief of evolution and creationism being in conflict, and I don't think so. I'm one of the few Christians nowadays that believe that God, in his infinite wisdom, created the Big Bang that was initiated at such a precise energy and such a precise velocity that created the universe with the precise gravity that we have and allowed life as we know it to exist. Now, I think that this is highly a generational problem. Now, if you ask my mom, she'll tell you that that's not possible. She also thinks that we should be wary of the Russians and the Japanese. So I think that this is going to be a problem that will fade away by itself, much as
racism and education hand in hand
will work as well.
But why are we allowing specific religious beliefs to be taught in public school as fact?
Specific religious beliefs?
Right, religious beliefs specific to one particular religion, such as Christianity.
Well, I believe that the Muslim religion believes in creationism as well.
Okay, but many other religions
right,
don't.
There's a difference between religion and science.
The thing is, you could read Genesis and look at it as a
parable.
What's a day to a creature like God who has no sense of time?
And
Right. You know, so it could be over billions of years.
And Genesis was written by men well after the events depicted in Genesis.
But if you look at
so they weren't there.
No, but if you look at the sequence of events, it's very similar to what actually happened as things evolved. It's just that the scale is all wrong.
Right. For those of you who object to Jim calling God a creature, please send your email right to Jim.
Right to Jim at StephanieMiller.com.
Hey, you know who happens to have a fabulous piece about this? Bob Seska, who's coming up in 5 minutes.
What are the odds?
Yes, and he talks about Creation Museum demands equal airtime to refute scientific facts in Cosmos series. He argues for the sake, actually it's a really good point, for the sake of religion and science, it's why we should keep them separate. Because they can coexist, but not, as Charlie wrote about the same thing, you can't... Yes.
Not in a publicly funded classroom.
I mean, if you believe the universe was literally created in 7 days, sorry, but there's no such thing as a day. A day is just the rate at which the Earth is turning.
That's all you need to see. It's a picture of the Creation Museum where his child is riding a dinosaur with a saddle, and he's clapping.
It's a triceratops.
Look at you! Riding the triceratops.
A little tiny one.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
All right, then. Scott in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Scott.
Hello.
Hello.
My question is, I guess it kind of dovetails with what the last guy said. But I understand you're a comedian, but you still want to be taken seriously. But you,
no,
you
I don't. I do not care about being taken seriously. But thank you.
Well, I think you understand my point. I mean, you're trying to persuade people and
no, I am not. No,
just
I
trying
am
to entertain. That's all.
All right. Well, you can backtrack as much as you want. The root of the point is you mock.
I'm not backtracking. This is my mission statement for this show. But go ahead.
You mock Christianity and those.
No, I do not. I mocked the evangelicals that are exporting hate and trying to get gays persecuted overseas because they've failed in doing it here.
You mock people who are Christians and the
No, I do not. I do not mock people who are Christian. I mock specific people who are using their Christianity to export hate.
There are some people on this show, me specifically, that may disagree with the theory of, or whatever, of creationism. That's not mocking, right. It's disagreeing.
And my point is, you have many leading Democrats, both the Clintons and Obama, who profess to be Christians and who believe in creation.
Do we know
and
that?
We don't know that
Bill Clinton
Obama doesn't believe in creation.
I'm sorry, they profess to be, so you don't necessarily take them at their word.
You could be a Christian and not believe in creationism.
Yes. Oh. The story of creation was in the Old Testament anyway.
So many trolls, so little time.
Yeah.
And we wouldn't have time for Billy.
Oh, Lord.
Hi, Billy in Texas.
Hi, guys. Listen, what is y'all's problem with a flat tax?
What?
It's a dumb idea.
Class warfare.
It's dumb.
And
why is that dumb?
Because it would suppress home ownership and charitable giving because those would no longer be the tax write-offs.
No, that's a lie.
It's not a lie, Billy. If you have a true flat,
ultimately the most fair way to tax people.
Billy,
well, I'm sure Steve Forbes thinks so because he'd only have to pay 17%.
All right, whatever.
Sorry, that was.
You just hate rich people. That's all it is.
That's all it is, Stephanie.
You want people to be poor and
right. Yes, indeed. Okay, Buddy in Columbus, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Buddy.
Hey, Mama. This guy who wants equal time to answer Neil deGrasse's Cosmos theories, and he wants to get on his show to do that. He's not the quickest cowboy on God's Dude Ranch. You see, they've already taped all 13 episodes.
Yep.
And so he goes, "I want time to get on." It's not going to happen.
It's already been.
They're already in the can, as they say.
He can go on CBN and refute it all he wants.
Yeah. We blame Bill Nye. Bob Seska's like, see, he did a good job. He debated this guy. He beat him. But now it gets you the idea that this can be debated.
Yeah.
All right. We will talk to Bob Seska about that and more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You know, I myself used to be doable.
Well, what happened?
I turned 30.
Long time ago.
Aww.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. All right, here he is, our buddy, our pal, Bob Seska. Mahalo. Hi, Bob.
Aloha, Mr. Hond.
Thank you. Thank you for the picture from the Creation Museum of the baby riding the dinosaur.
Triceratops.
Yeah, the guy seems a little enthusiastic.
Yes.
A little bit over the top excited for his daughter to be on the dinosaur. Just really, really excited to see that.
But, you know, you brought up the point. You said, I blame Bill Nye several weeks ago, and I thought he'd be fine to debate a well-known creationist and founder of the Creation Museum, Ken Ham. He obviously won the debate, but, you know, as you say, now it's created the idea, apparently, that there are still things open to debate, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, essentially what this was is in the effort to keep creation out of science classes, Bill Nye invited creation into his science class. I mean, that's what it ultimately came down to. I mean, it gave creationism an equal platform. And as Neil deGrasse Tyson likes to say, you know, you don't want to have a debate about whether the Earth is round and invite over the flat earthers. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense.
Right. You say it was also a huge moneymaker for Ham's ridiculous museum, in which inside it's okay to instruct children that the universe is 6,000 years old and that humans rode on the backs of tamed, domesticated dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and also he got funds to greenlight Ark Park, which
Ark
is
Park.
A, right.
Ark Park.
Ark Park. I love me a good bark park, but this one is a park based around the fable of
Noah's Ark. Yeah.
Yeah, they're building a life-size Noah's Ark, as if the Ark was actually in life. You know what I mean? It's an actual full-size replica of Noah's Ark in this park.
Oh,
and
cool.
What happened was, the idea of the whole thing with Ham being in this debate raised the visibility enough of his ministry to be able to raise the required money to get Ark Park greenlit.
Oh, God.
And what? By the way, a caller just pointed out that he wants to... you know, obviously, this Cosmos miniseries, he wants to debate them. Well, of course, first of all, he doesn't get the concept. They've already all been taped.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, he wants equal time. I mean, that's the big deal coming out of, I guess it was over the weekend. He was on some show that I've never heard of, and they talked about how, well, it wasn't Ken Ham, it was one of his spokesmen.
Right.
Was on this show, and they brought up Cosmos, and they said that they deserve equal time to discuss creation alongside the science and cosmos, which is just absolutely absurd.
Yeah.
By the way,
he can go on the 700 Club and you know, espouse all of that however he wants.
Right, with evil and
does he want
chuckles.
To debate the existence of gravity?
Yeah, I mean, it's like there's plenty of forums for them to do this. I don't know what the argument is here, other than, you know, they just seem to be emboldened by this debate about, you know, Bill Nye basically allowing them on the same stage with him. And now they think they can do that across the board. Well, no, they can't.
By the way, here is a math fun fact. The percentage of scientists who disagree with evolution, 0.1%.
Yeah.
For those of you math aficionados.
Yeah, it's 99.9% consensus on evolution.
By the way, so we've been getting into the with the God warriors on the phones this morning, Bob, and you say, as I've written before, not all people of faith are stupid or naive. They're not. However, when some of them try to pass off their faith as science, they often seem that way.
Yep.
Faith isn't science, and science isn't faith. Conflating the two is indeed far worse than comparing apples to oranges. It's like comparing apples to hobbits. But you make a great point at the end here. You say the sooner people of faith accept the wall of separation between science and faith, the sooner those ideas can coexist, each in their own appropriate non-intersecting spheres, and as you say, it helps. That would help science and religion, right?
Well, right. I mean, it's my theory, and this is not necessarily a theory, but it's more of an observation that the Establishment Clause can swing both ways. You know, as soon as you start letting religious dogma into the secular world can in turn go back through that same door and start interfering with the pulpit, and that's exactly what could happen. So I was wondering why these people are so desperate to keep that door wide open, when in fact, you know, the Establishment Clause was written to prevent the secular world from interfering in the religious world, and in fact, vice versa.
Well,
and so when you open that door, man, that's letting a lot of stuff loose back and forth through it, such as, well, why don't we start imposing some taxes on some of these ministries and churches? Or why don't we start making sure that science gets equal time, you know, in the homily? You know, it just, it seems absurd that they want to allow this sort of thing to occur.
Right. And Bob, I mean, obviously the Supreme Court case, the Hobby Lobby, you know, interesting salon saying, you know, a case, of course, that will determine whether employers who oppose the use of birth control on religious grounds can deny female workers contraceptive coverage guaranteed them by the Affordable Care Act. But they raise a good point. Hobby Lobby's lawyers are nominally fighting to protect the religious rights of stores' owners, but Hobby Lobby's a corporation. It's a for-profit business, and it's a corporate entity to which the mandate applies. To obtain a religious exemption from the mandate, Hobby Lobby's owners need to imbue the corporation with their personally held religious belief, and that requires altering the distinction between shareholder and corporation in fundamental and potentially disruptive ways. I mean, it really, that really is a dangerous slippery slope.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, this is another example of the dangers of Citizens United, where you have corporations being treated as people with speech and First Amendment rights and so forth. But I, you know, I mean, the thing that really annoys me about that Hobby Lobby suit and the all of the angst about the contraceptive mandate and, of course, the emergency contraceptive mandate and the Affordable Care Act is that they're getting it wrong. The religious side of this don't understand that the emergency contraception isn't abortion related, and they're insisting that it is, but it's not, because the emergency contraception allowed in the law only prevents ovulation. It doesn't prevent implantation.
Right.
All of the emergency contraception that prevents implantation isn't covered by the Affordable Care Act. So, you know, and this is something that a lot of people get wrong, especially the people at Hobby Lobby and so forth. And I'm really hoping that when that goes to the Supreme Court, that someone with a brain in their head makes that case, that this is not abortion, this is just emergency contraception.
Yep. Bob, before you go, I want to talk to you about, there's obviously a lot of things in the news this morning. President Obama poised to call for an end to the controversial bulk data collection of phone records by the NSA. You know, and I'm sure you saw this piece in Mediaite too, that people are speculating, gee, how did Russia suddenly learn?
Yeah.
How did they learn how to evade all of a sudden the, you know, our NSA stuff in terms of showing up in Crimea without us knowing?
Well, I mean, you know, there's a lot of speculation and some conspiracy theories about Snowden having handed over his documents to the Russian government in exchange for asylum. And I don't know anything about that. I mean, I have no evidence of that whatsoever.
Right.
I'll go ahead and take Snowden and Greenwald, for that matter, at their word that nothing like that happened. But we do know that there has been at least one story published from the Snowden documents that detailed how Norway is helping the NSA spy on Russia.
Oh,
and that was, I don't know, several months ago. So, I mean, there is at least one thing in which it went public in terms of how exactly we're spying on Russia. And that could have contributed to it. I don't know yet. I mean, there was the Wall Street Journal article speculating that there was more to this. You know, I'm just kind of waiting to see what additional information comes out, and it always does.
Yeah. Well, as you know, I'm a little bit of a writer slut. So as Charlie Pierce was quoting my other husband, Michael Tomosky, it's like a game of writer telephone.
Yeah.
But, you know, he was talking about his piece about Rand Paul, because, as you know, he was, you know, at Berkeley talking about the NSA program. And it is interesting that that's like the only issue that I guess in this case he was talking about millennials agree with him on. But I was just reading a piece, you know, NSA surveillance exposes political party divisions and how this will play out should it be, say, Rand Paul versus Hillary Clinton in 2016. and what do you think of that and how that's going to play out? Because I think it's, you know, it's an interesting, like I said, that literally that would be the only thing some people would agree with Rand Paul on.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know if it's a wise political tack to take, because this issue does, you know, kind of cut across all the entire political spectrum. I mean, it's not, you know, it's not as cut and dry as, say, abortion or civil rights or the environment, where you know what your party or what your favorite candidate is all about. This is much more ambiguous, you know, where there's some Democrats who are against it, some Democrats who are for it. You know, there could be some Democrats who are kind of like me, kind of ambivalent about it. And so you don't really know. You don't really, there's nothing to grasp onto as a voter. So to me, it seems like It's really good as something that you can shore up votes in a primary or even a local election, but it's not, or a state election, but it's not so surefire for the general.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Somebody quoted in the piece, I think in 2016, if you had a more libertarian leading Republican, you had someone like Hillary Clinton, I think you could actually completely transform where people think they are and what party people think they have an allegiance for. I mean, those streams could actually cross, right? If, you know, I mean, and it's interesting. I'm quoting, you want to keep the country safe and you don't want to eviscerate our liberties and freedoms. The common sense is pulling Democrats and Republicans closer together on this issue than we expect. Isn't that really the basis of bipartisan consensus? So that's interesting. Is it a bipartisan thing or is it going to be, you know, I just think it's one of those things that isn't going to fall on the typical party lines, right?
Yeah, well, don't ever forget the Clintons' penchant for triangulation. I mean, they'll absolutely figure out some way to turn this into a positive, and I have full confidence in that, and that's assuming that Hillary Clinton gets the nomination.
Yeah, well, and so we shall see. To be continued. Bob Seska, great stuff as always, and particularly the picture of the baby riding the dinosaur.
Thank you, Stephanie.
All right, talk to you next week. Thanks, honey. There he goes, Bob Seska.
Great.
So you believe in that Snowden conspiracy theory?
Right.
You're
you know
such
me.
A conspiracy
Crazy
theorist.
Conspiracy theorist. Yep. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEPH-12. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah.
So you want to rock and roll all night and party every day?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You can sleep when you're dead.
Knock yourself out.
50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Jim, who said, I distrust those people who know so well what God wants them to do because I notice it always coincides with their own desires.
Otto Hitler.
Susan B. Anthony.
Ah. Mm-hmm.
Susan B. Anton.
Was Hitler on a coin?
Susan Anton did not say that.
Whatever
happened to her?
I don't know. She's on a coin somewhere.
She's funny. She came on my late night TV show, and we did blonde and brunette jokes back and forth for an entire segment.
Wow.
She's hilarious. Oh, I remember one of her jokes. She said, how do you know when a brunette's had an orgasm? Who cares?
She's got a point.
Screw you. Mary in Tucson. Hi, Mary.
Good morning, Mama. Good morning,
Good morning, baby.
Well, I'll tell you, that Bob Seska is a spritz of Febreze to get rid of the stench of the trolls you have had on today.
Yeah.
A few things. One, the previous caller, the guy who was homeschooled and seemed to feel he was so enlightened because he accepted the theory of evolution along with creationism. The Roman Catholic Church has embraced evolution for the longest time, and even, you know, were contributors to some of the early theories of evolution. Gregor Mendel was a Augustinian monk who was a pioneer in the field of genetics,
right.
And that what his work also contributed. So the Roman Catholic Church does accept evolution. Second, there's a branch of science called cosmology, physical cosmology, that you know, actually uses scientific theory and methodology to determine the origins of things, and evolution falls under that. Then there's metaphysical or religious cosmology, which is based on legend and mythology and religious belief, and the two aren't the same. So, whereas...
Well, if none of this was in Cosmo magazine, I did not read it.
Yeah, like you read Cosmo.
I was a Cosmo girl. They had helpful articles, didn't they, Mary, back in the 70s? Yeah. I remember one. It said, how to exercise your love muscles to control your man.
Yeah, that comes in handy for you.
I don't remember that being on Cosmos. Oh, Cosmo. No, that's something different, yes.
Right. Okay, love letter from Carol. Staff, after all these years listening to you and meeting you three times...
Aww.
A Steph head. And absolutely loving you massively, I'm writing to warn you to change this idea of meeting at your studio home for larger donations. Oh, freespeech.tv, freespeech.org. Please, go. $1,000 for the meet and greet with Mom and the Mooks here in the studio. Mm-hmm. When I first heard the idea, it horrified me. Me too. I beg you to change the idea. Too late. Those right-wing nutballs will stop at nothing and abuse and abuse these poor mindless people to do their dirty work and keep their own hands clean. I wonder if someone will bring a ninja star, do you think?
Be it
like,
could
oh my god,
again.
Listen,
it
you guys
happen.
Are pushing. Because it's all about me and it would just ruin my world if anything were to happen to you or the mooks. Because you are the small trickle of sanity for everyone in this world that has gone crazy.
Really?
Yikes. Yikes.
The world has gone insane.
We are all so lightly tethered to our own sanity. I would die. Though I'm a funny person, I'm terribly grumpy when you go on vacation. Please protect yourself and the mooks and your home, hearth, and sanctuary as you beloved and a gem to this society. By the way, you're going to use me as a human shield, aren't you? If someone comes after you first, right? You will throw me.
No, you're too skinny. You're too skinny to be a shield.
Here is my love, Ms. P. Kabuki. Oh, look who has a beautiful sweater. Ms. P. Kabuki. She listens to you every day and doesn't know life without you. Oh, I'm going to miss you, Ms. P. Kabuki. Oh, look, speaking of pretty, it's a picture of her with sexy liberal John Fiegel playing at a sexy liberal show.
Oh, those are two sexy liberals in that picture. Mm-hmm.
Ms. P. Kabuki. Fred was just having a nightmare, and he was biting the air.
Yes, he was.
What'd you get, Fred?
Air.
Who'd you bite?
I got air. I ate air.
I ate air.
That's what happens when you eat air.
Stop it. All right. We mentioned Ellen Page yesterday, who just bravely came out. Did you see her tweet to the homophobic pastor?
Yes.
Hilarious. Juno actress, Ellen Page, an anti-gay pastor who wrote her in response to coming out. She tweeted back, being gay isn't a belief. My soul isn't struggling, and I don't want the arms of Heavenly Father around me. A girl's arms? Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chris, you need to get me this gig. How can you? Can we find towns that would pay me not to show up? I bet you we could.
Oh, I'm sure.
Texas town pays Ted Nugent $16,000 not to play a 4th of July concert.
Hey. That's great.
We need to start calling up some redneck towns and say, how much would you pay
to not have
Stephanie bring sexy liberal there? I'd consider staying home and drinking for the right amount of money.
Make me an offer.
After booking Ted Nugent to play his 4th of July concert, Longview, Texas had second thoughts, and now they will be paying him $16,250 not to, to play on that was...
So they're taking the Longview.
Because,
what you're saying.
He's controversial.
Really?
He, as you know, has recently called the president a subhuman mongrel and a chimpanzee.
Mm-hmm.
He continues to campaign for Texas Attorney General Greg Abbott in the Texas gubernatorial
race.
The chairman of the Republican Party in Gregg County believes the state-level race is the only reason Longview canceled its contract with Nugent, who also once said Hillary Clinton had spare scrotums.
What?
The Longview City Manager's Office, Gawker writes, in the process of booking a replacement act who never said that apartheid isn't that cut and dried, or entreated President Obama to suck on his machine gun. Okay.
Great.
Oh, my God.
Could be a new business for me. I would be willing to not appear a number of places.
But, see, the rub is, you have to get booked first, and then they decide not to have
you. Let's get on it. Let's get on it.
That's tougher than just calling up a town and saying, hey, pay me and I won't show up.
Pay me not to show up.
All right, unless we're being punked, Ashton Kutcher has spawned. Mila Kunis, is that her name?
Mila Kunis.
They are engaged, apparently, and going to be parents. Kunis, ironically, Jim, the face of the new Jim Beam bourbon. I'm afraid this story may make Demi Moore the face of rubbing alcohol. You know what I'm saying? She seems a little,
tense.
How was that right. Ironic?
I didn't mean ironic. I don't know what I meant. Don't bother me now. Barbara Walters was the matchmaker.
That was just a regional like pronunciation.
Right.
That was the problem.
Black fly in your Jim Beam bourbon. Yeah. That's ironic.
That was a callback to hour one.
Barbara Walters was the matchmaker for Paul McCartney. Jim,
I didn't know.
She set him up with his present wife, Nancy Cheval.
Right.
She takes credit for them getting together at one of her parties. Hello.
Oh, your bad's dead.
Nancy Cheval. Cheval. McCartney. A source said Barbara was so determined to make it work that she'd call Nancy and coach her on Paul's likes and dislikes.
Meat. That's a dislike.
White.
And actually, the fact that she has her own money, that's a like. Definite like.
Right. Yes. And, of course, front and center at the Simple London Wedding was Barbara taking credit for making the perfect match.
I take full credit.
I take She takes credit for everything. Is the opening of The View still, I had an idea.
No.
I thought we would get four different women. Oh, we get it. It was your idea. Okay. Oh, my God.
That was the brilliant. Opening about 15 years ago.
Hello. I had an idea. Look at me. All right. That's it for us.
Look at me. I'm as helpless as a kitten up a tree.
All right. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.